The mountains have fainted dead away, and the valleys have been opened up like wax that is melted before the fire, or as when waters flow down a narrow place. That's Micah chapter 1, verse 4. The Ward Green translation of 2003, our daily scripture today, little children. And returning to our study of the article, The Ark of Urartu, once again, we've reached paragraph 5 of chapter 12. We're in part 2 of The Ark of Urartu, The Orient Express by yours truly. Gilgamesh was said to be 11 cubits, that is 19 feet tall, at the place of 8, Kazan. The graves discovered by Mr. Wyatt in 1977 were of a similar 18-foot length that caused a sensation after he told some local about it, and the giant-sized bones were exhumed and appeared at hotels. As Christians reported it, the facts brought to light are, the Turkish government later reported that a bodice that Mrs. Noah was wearing, which was covered with large precious stones, was sold on the Turkish black market for around $75 million. One of the burial crypts was later recovered and is in a back room of a museum in Ankara, Turkey. It is 18 feet long. Enormous human bones appeared in some of the hotels in the area soon after the graves were robbed. The size of the bones suggests that the antediluvians were between 12 and 15 feet tall. End quote. That was from BiblePlus.org, Noah's Ark Rediscovered. So continuing our reading, first I'm going to have a sip of water here. Oh, more than a sip. That was, you know, it's funny, but of all the liquids or beverages that I would have imagined that I would enjoy the most, you know, my ultimate beverage, I wouldn't have imagined that it would be pure water in the distilled state, absolutely with no additives, just the purest water, cold. There's no other drink, there's no other beverage I would prefer on earth. But I really would not have imagined that that would be true, thinking back to when I would have, you know, when I was younger, perhaps imagined many other different beverages, but not water, as my favorite. But near the grave of Mrs. Noah, continuing now to read, Brother Wyatt found a bone of a human hand, 2.5 times the size of a human bone today. The grave marker of Mrs. Noah was identified by the carved image of a rainbow, a boat on a wave, and of 8 humans, the second largest of which was carved with the eyes shut. I have to continually pinch myself because the work I get to do is the greatest privilege I could ever imagine, that I am so blessed by Jehovah God to learn about holy things. Noah's family is of interest to me because of my ancestry, and the Ark's site itself we have found very telling. While no real question remains that we have found the site of the Ark landing. Are there historical questions, and are there ancestral questions with regards to details as to the places Noah and his sons lived and what they all did? Questions that may be partially answered at the site? These things are in addition to a possible study of how to land a gigantic ship on a mountain with its own intrigue. Noah was a farmer of grapes in an area now known for wine. The Ark, having landed in the region of the Caucasus, in brackets Caucasus, by geographic distinction, are all men Caucasian. They're all descended from these people who landed in the Caucasus. While wine is dated from 6,100 years ago in the Vayots Djor province of Armenia, Noah made wine by our reckoning after 810 years more recently, the landing being 5,290 years ago. A discrepancy of about 810 years, but we don't put more faith in the dating of secular historians who don't have the full picture than we do in the genealogy, which accounts for far more, and almost everything that we can possibly think of we've accounted for. We've tried very hard. So we don't trust the dating of 6,100 compared to our date of 5,290 years ago. Now, Noah's house at Kazan, as we continue to read, has the remains of stone walls which he might have built and used for tending of animal flocks. Yes, these are quite large stone walls. Massive boulders could not have been moved by most, human hands, certainly not the size of humans that live today. Couldn't have moved these huge, huge boulders. But, you know, how they were moved, even if there were very, very strong, heavy machinery, is still also, I think, even then, somewhat of a challenge to explain. But there are these stone walls there. At the site where they found what they thought was Noah's house, as shown by the gravestone that had the depiction of these people. Let's go back to that in the chapter here. There were 8 humans on that gravestone. That's remarkable. And the second largest one had the eyes shut, indicating that was Mrs. Noah and that she had passed away. Evidently, that's what it indicated. But the bodies were so large, and this is fascinating about the fact that wine is produced in that area because that's what Noah did when he got off the ark. He became a vintner. It's the very first vintner after the deluge. I'm going to have another sip of water. Oh, I need water. So now I'm going to talk about what happened. That concludes our study for today. In the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express. It was chapter 12, paragraph 5. Yesterday we had done paragraph 4. So that makes perfect sense. Just to verify. Now that's it for today in the article. But I want to talk about what happened. I did drink. I did take some dairy. I think I drank milk yesterday. Quite a lot of it. But more than that, I took a large amount of vitamin D again. Vitamin D being, you know, of the order of what I took was probably 60,000 units again or something like that. And I drank a lot of milk and I overdosed again. So not as much, but I overdosed. And I measured my heart rate. I measured it and it wouldn't go down below 78 at the lowest so far today. Oh, is that true? Wait a minute. I might have got one lower reading. But after it was up around 84, 90, 96, you know, and then it was... Let's see. Let's measure it. Okay, 14 beats in 10 seconds, so that's 84 beats per minute right now. And I feel very relaxed, so it's not because I'm feeling excited or anything or that I've done any heavy work just a few minutes ago. That's not the case. I'm very relaxed. It should be my resting heart rate. Now, that's not, for an adult, a resting heart rate that is of any concern normally, except that my resting heart rate is, as I know it to be, much lower. So it's 60 or so. And I even got a reading of 54 beats per minute the other day, which is the lowest I've ever seen. That was after I overdosed also. But what I'm going to do is be more cautious again. It's not pleasant to overdose because there's some frequent urination. But this time it wasn't as bad. But there's also, it's a bad feeling. You feel bad. You're weaker. I'm weaker when I have the overdose of calcium and vitamin D. And it's, now the vitamin D would not be an overdose if I didn't take the calcium. That wouldn't cause any issue. I know that because I was doing that for a long time, taking amounts very similar, if not perhaps quite so high, but it's not the vitamin D. I know that. You can take a lot of vitamin D as long as you don't allow much calcium into your body. Just have the fridge kicked on, and that's why we have some noise now in the background. But so calcium is a big danger, but only to people who take vitamin D in large quantities. Or in the quantities that, in my case, for me, it's an overdose to take the quantities of vitamin D that I'm taking, but that might be quite different for someone else. However, I mean, vitamin D has so many benefits that it's not appropriate to suggest reducing the amount of vitamin D. But now I will, of course, because I want to be able to consume some calcium. And I want the vitamin D to reduce itself in my body. I think it's a sign that the vitamin D has reached a point that's too high in my body. So a level that's too much in my body of vitamin D. Because vitamin D can build up in the body, not like vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 is also, as vitamin D is, fat soluble. They're both fat soluble. So a lot of people think, well, since D is fat soluble and you can bioaccumulate vitamin D, therefore K2 must be that way too. But that's not true of K2. It's not ever been seen to be toxic at all, whereas D is definitely known to be toxic in certain amounts, right? In certain quantities that are too large to be non-toxic, but K2 is non-toxic at any dose, as far as we know. There's no toxicity whatsoever for K2, and that's just a known thing. Now, vitamin K2, let's talk about it. It's actually believed to be the what did he call it? Weston, what was his last name? Weston Price. Yeah, Weston Price, the dentist. He discovered what he called Activator X, which was present in dairy products that had been grass-fed animals, that were produced by grass-fed animals. And he discovered it because he went around the world surveying all the teeth of all the people of different cultures. Different cultures which had different diets. And he found that among the cultures that had grass-fed dairy products, there was no problem with dental crowding. He wrote a book on this to Weston Price, a 300-page book, something, a very significant-sized book, significantly sized, and a lot of pictures in it, and so on. And he described this thing he called Activator X that must be in the food that these people were eating that allowed the teeth to be straight and not crowded in their dentition. So he discovered what we now believe is actually vitamin K2. But it was probably known too when he wrote. It may well have been known. Didn't we just look up the other day that vitamin K2 was originally discovered in 1929? It might have been known. We didn't have the internet in 1929, so Weston Price could not have searched the internet to find what the vitamin was that he'd called Activator X. But it may have existed when he wrote his book. I'm not sure now when he wrote his book. When did Weston Price write his book? I think I'll have to do that investigate that a different day, do that some other time. But Weston Price, having discovered this, was really, we believe now, discovering the vitamin called K2, which is a menaquinone. Vitamin K1 is in greens, salad, and all these things. And vitamin K1 is quite different from vitamin K2. We know vitamin K1 as the blood coagulator vitamin and things like that. It's not the same function as vitamin K2, which is the calcium facilitator vitamin and prevents dental crowding, as well as prevents heart disease, arthritis, all sorts of things. It prevents all these things. Now, that's not going to prevent rheumatoid arthritis, which is what I have. I don't think it prevents that. And look at my thumb, how much can we see this? How much it's improved? I don't know. Look at the level. I'm going to have to boost the light here momentarily so we can see this. My thumb, where I need it on a, there we go. It's not nearly as much of a bump now on my thumb. It's gone down a large amount. It's gone down a large amount. To a large degree, the rheumatoid arthritis has gone down. Definitely much, much less than what it was. But I don't know what caused it, but I also was eating a lot of licorice at one point. I think the licorice was supposed to be good for losing weight or something, wasn't it? But then it had a lot of wheat. I didn't know it had wheat in it. In the licorice I was eating, it had a lot of wheat, and wheat is known to have gluten, and that can aggravate a lot of things in people, like, you know, autoimmune disease, possibly rheumatoid arthritis, stuff like that. But look at that. Look at this. I don't know if we're going to get a good shot of this. If you compare it with the earlier footage, it should be, I think you'll see it's much, 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 much less. But anyway, I'm happy about that. Of course, the pain is also essentially gone, too. So I think this is on the mend. And rheumatoid arthritis is, of course, not as common as many other things. So it's for people who have that problem that have to watch many of the things that could be causing it. But we were really talking about vitamin K2, though. It prevents arthritis in general. And actually, for me, it did eliminate the arthritis that I was feeling in my right hand. And it did so immediately when I took the vitamin K2 in the form that it was in the formulation in which it was, which had vitamin D with it. It was 100, roughly 100 micrograms of vitamin K2 in the MK7 form, together with each capsule contained that plus 1,000 units of vitamin D. So I took 6 gel caps and at one time, and the pain in my fingers went away instantly, like magnificently. And that would happen every time I did that, every time I felt the pain from the arthritis, when I took these 6 gel caps, which contain so about 600 micrograms of vitamin K2 in the MK7 form, plus 6,000 units of vitamin D3 in the gel cap together, I felt complete relief immediately from the arthritis I was suffering. So that is like, you would have to call that some kind of a miracle or something. Nobody knows this, and I knew from earlier, the reason I tried that was because I knew from earlier I was getting arthritis when I started to supplement with vitamin K2. And when I started supplementing with vitamin K2, I used MK7, that form of it from natto beans, extracted from the natto beans, which are very high in vitamin K2 in the MK7 form. If you want to take MK7 or vitamin K2, MK7 is what it is, and you don't want to take a supplement, you just eat the natto beans. They're very high in vitamin K2. Another thing that has vitamin K2, probably many different chain lengths. MK7 is the chain length. The 7 indicates the chain length of the molecule. So another way to get more more of that vitamin K2 in different chain lengths, like MK4, MK9, MK11, all the MK4, MK5, MK6, MK7, MK8, MK9, all the different chain lengths of the vitamin K2 molecule are obtainable by eating different foods that have it in it. But fermented vegetables is an excellent way to get vitamin K2 also. So that's a way of getting it through food. So I may not need to be supplementing, as I did with calcium. When I don't much supplement anymore with calcium, because if I do, I use coral calcium if possible, and I have coral always on hand. But I do supplement with, not with anything like an artificial or supplement, but I use dairy products to do my calcium supplementation. Keep in mind that there's no, and right now I want to deprive myself of calcium because I had the overdose again of vitamin D with calcium. But generally I use milk, because milk is much higher than cream is in calcium. And I use cheese, of course. Excuse me. I use I also eat dairy products that don't have calcium, like butter, cream. They're not high in calcium. I don't eat them for the calcium. I eat them for other reasons, because I believe they're healthy. You know, the fat, that's right, the fat in the dairy product is what contains the vitamin K2. It doesn't contain the calcium, but it contains the vitamin K2. So if it was grass-fed, you're going to get the vitamin K2 in the fat of that dairy product. So that's why I love, it's not really why, I love the taste of it, but that's why that's one reason why I should love sheep's milk, is for the vitamin K2 in the fat. And most sheep are probably grass-fed, you would think, right? It's a good thing if they are, because the sheep's milk will be very high in vitamin K2, which is very healthy, and you're getting the calcium in the milk, you're getting the vitamin K2 in the milk fat, which is in the, is it called milk fat or is it called butter fat? I'm not sure. In the milk, whatever the fat is. The fat is maybe 6% fat in sheep's milk. It's very beautiful milk. And it's very healthy. I just don't understand why people are cutting out all the fat. Well, actually, I have figured out why I think they're doing it. The people are trying to cut out all the fat from their diet in the dairy products. So they're going away from that. And the reason is because, let me think. Well, their fat, yeah, their fat that they're getting in their dairy products, if it's not grass-fed animals, they're not getting any vitamin K2. So that fat is probably more harmful than good. And that's the reason, I believe, why everybody has gone to this 1% milk, all the 2%, 1%, instead of 3%, 5%, 6%, which you wouldn't probably get with cow's milk anyway. You'd get 3% with cows. But that's what I drink when I drink cow's milk, it's 3%. I don't like 2% because it's not going to have any vitamins. But the thing is, okay, and also, I'm not going to drink milk when I'm overdosing, obviously, in calcium. So, but it's excellent when I'm not overdosing. I'm going to be very certain to mention that there's nothing bad about milk at all. It's just that I've overdosed on the combination of vitamin D with the calcium in the milk, okay? That's what it is. And it's, for most people, impossible to overdose because they wouldn't take the amount of vitamin D that I'm taking. I'm partly taking a lot of vitamin D because I've increased my dosage of MK4, that form of vitamin K2 called MK4, which is used in Japan for decades to combat osteoporosis, and it's taken in a dosage of 45 milligrams per day in those studies that have shown improved bone densities, and they've been doing it for decades in Japan. So this MK4 form of vitamin K2, it's not cheap to buy. I've been taking significant amount of it, like recently 45 milligrams every day. So that's why I was bumping up my vitamin K2, because I wasn't sure how much vitamin K2 I need. I mean, take that back. That's why I was bumping up my daily dose of vitamin D, D3, in my supplementation. I was already bumping up the MK4, like I said. I was taking 45 milligrams per day. In food, you get MK4, naturally. It's a form of vitamin K2. It occurs in a lot of different foods, like all the other different chain lengths also do of the vitamin K2. They all appear there in different foods, up to MK13, and any size down to MK4. Now, right now, my mental ability is diminished because I'm overdosed on calcium. It has that effect as well. It's not a good thing. So, it's unfortunate. I'll try not to let it happen again. But I need to learn what the absolute limits are for taking these different vitamins for myself. And I will be taking a lot less vitamin D when I want to consume calcium in quantities from milk, for example, which that milk is so good. The organic cow's milk that I was getting from a company that uses grass-fed cows to get the milk, it was so good, and I wasn't getting any reaction from the proteins in the milk either, which is another problem with cow's milk. So you don't get any problems like you get with cows when you're drinking sheep's milk or goat's milk. They just don't have the same issues. One of which is, you know, the different proteins in different cows that can cause problems. The other is the fact that the cow has multiple stomachs, right, that causes problems, because humans don't, and sheep and goats don't have multiple stomachs. But sheep's milk and goat's milk also is more flavorful than cow's milk. It has a much stronger flavor, and when you get used to it, it's the most delicious, more delicious than cow's milk. Now, you know, I've only had sheep's milk on one or two occasions, I think. Only occasionally could I get it at a health food store that I was shopping at in the city near which I live. But, you know, if I could buy sheep's milk, I'd buy it. Definitely would buy it. And even with 6% fat, I would buy sheep's milk because that's the best. The highest fat is the best if it's grass-fed animals. You want high-fat, grass-fed, and I'll drink cow's milk if it's grass-fed. I'll even drink some cow's milk if it's not grass-fed, possibly, or I'll drink the cream anyway from those particular, just any manufacturer, basically, as long as it's not milk, I guess. I don't like to buy the milk from these other manufacturers, and I don't like 2% milk because it's not enough fat. There's no point in drinking milk with a low fat content. That's the way I think of it. It doesn't make sense. You want to get vitamins, and the fat you want to, or if there's no vitamin K2 in the fat, and they're eliminating the fat, I'm taking supplements of both MK4 and MK7 anyway. So those supplements that I'm taking will help if I have to buy milk that doesn't have any fat, right? If I have to buy that, I could probably do it, but I don't want to do that because that's not natural to take the fat out of the milk. It's better to keep it in and then supplement the vitamins, right? You want everything in the milk. You want it to be natural. You don't want to start processing it. Well, like we've always been taught by the people who study health, right, that processed food is bad. So it's the same idea with taking out the fat from the milk. It's processed food. You don't want that. You want the fat. You want the fat. But you don't just buy any old milk with fat in it, or yogurt. I like high-fat yogurt, too. And those yogurts that come from the Mediterranean region or something like that, they would be probably very healthy because they're from... Even the cows in Europe tend to be more favorable with the type of proteins that they have. But it's not going to be cow's milk that they're making, or is it? Yeah, I think they do use cow's milk for yogurt, actually. But, yeah, it's just more likely to be good. I haven't eaten yogurt recently, but that's something that... It's another way. It's even better because you get the probiotics. Probiotics are something I'm taking now as a supplement, too. For the gut, you need to get something good in the bacterial content of your gut for your health. That's it for today's study. It's January 16th, 2025 of the Common Era, and the time is 22:34 hours Canadian Eastern Time. I'm hopefully going to feel better in a few hours. That's it for today, and thank you so much for listening and watching. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star. And they're saying bye for now. That was today's study from the article, The Arc of Urartu, by yours truly. It's subtitled The Orient Express, and we studied paragraph 12, Chapter 12, paragraph 5. Yeah, you see, my overdose is affecting me a little bit there in my cognitive ability, and that will go away in a few hours. So bye for now.